Welcome to the Data Life podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about the mechanics of working with data-related projects in real life. We go through the tools, the models, the techniques, and the insights about these. This is your host, Sanket, and I welcome you to this new episode. In this episode, we'll talk about why Pandas is the new Excel. The first version of Excel was released in 1985 for the Mac and 1987 for Windows. Since then, it has been one of the main tools used in the industry. Excel has been the first tool people think of when they think of numbers and charts. In fact, it is a great tool for some of those things. It has low barrier to entry and can be a great tool to quickly visualize something. But as we enter into the world of large data sets and intricate business logic, there are several things to keep in mind as we evaluate the choice of which data analysis tool to use. Let's look at a few of these and see how Pandas wins over Excel in these. So the first question is, what is Pandas? So Pandas is a Python library for data analysis and was released as open source in 2009 by Wes McKinney, who was a quantitative financial analyst. From what I've read online, Wes was really frustrated with what was available for financial data analysis, and that's how he kind of started working on Pandas. So Pandas can be used in two ways. One is to use it in an IDE or integrated development environment, which would be like how you would write Python scripts. But you could also use Pandas in a Jupyter notebook where you could see the data manipulation as you perform it and also do visualizations as you go. I feel that Jupyter notebooks are a great way to get started with Python and Pandas. So Jupyter notebooks, you don't need to use Pandas, you can use Python, but lots of people use it for data analysis, and Pandas is one of the main things that people use with Jupyter notebooks. Also, you could use R for the same tasks as Pandas. There are several pros and cons between Python and R, but I prefer Pandas with Python as it is a full programming language and also connects to several libraries like scikit-learn, NumPy, matplotlib, and the deep learning libraries like Keras, TensorFlow, and PyTorch, and so on and so forth. It is one of the main reasons why Python is growing in so much popularity and is becoming one of the major languages for data science in the world. Okay, so let's get started on some of the main data analysis needs that you and your company might be having today and see how Pandas wins over Excel in these. So the first one is the large dataset size. Companies today are dealing with larger and larger datasets. So when you work on problems, I'm sure that you're dealing with at least tens of thousands of rows. In Excel, if a dataset is greater than 10,000 rows, you may see Excel get really slow. In fact, there is a hard limit of around 1 million rows in Excel. However, with Pandas, you're only limited by the RAM of your computer. You can load up to several tens of millions of rows of data with no problem. If the RAM is still not sufficient, you can move to cloud server, say on Amazon Web Services EC2 instance, and get higher RAM and higher data size that you can use. So if your computer's RAM is say 16 GB and it's not enough, you can move to AWS EC2 instance where you can easily get like say 64 GB RAM, and that will triple or quadruple your data size, so which is pretty cool. Now, let's move to the next point, which is different kinds of input formats. Today's data needs involve multiple formats, ranging from CSV to JSON to SQL to HTML. For Excel, you need to pre-prepare the dataset into columnar format before loading into it. But with Pandas, there are several helpful functions that allow you to ingest data in any of these formats. From read CSV to read JSON, there are great starter functions to load input data into Pandas data frames. You can read directly from a database into a Pandas data frame with read SQL, which I find really useful. Data frames are two-dimensional tables that store your information. They are the base data structures in Pandas. Along with data frames, there is another base data structure which is called series, Series is like a one-dimensional data structure for like storing one column, and data frame stores like multiple columns. It's two-dimensional. So the combination of data frames and series is like makes pandas really powerful. So as a common workflow, typically people import pandas as pd. So import pandas as pd, and then you would do pd.read_csv. And then you could read a file, which is a CSV file. That is one of the great starter functions of pandas. And I guess it's used by millions of data scientists around the world every day. There are several useful parameters such as skip rows, load certain number of rows, change column names, etc. that you can do with this particular function. It is also easy to drop duplicates, impute missing values, and concatenate columns and data using helpful methods available on top of data frames. So yeah, pandas is pretty cool for dealing with different input formats and also pretty awesome for data cleanup. The third point is complex business logic. So while Excel is really great for easy functions that can be used in the cells, such as averages, medians, sums, etc., for any complex task, you need to use its own language, such as VBA or Visual Basic for applications, that is unique and specific for MS Office applications. It has a steep learning curve and doesn't have libraries for advanced data manipulation and analysis, which Python has, such as scikit-learn and NumPy. Pandas also allows for easy application of complex business logic, such as using group bys and filtering using formulae, as well as doing regular expressions at a very fast speed. While these may be possible with Excel, they're not very easy to use for everyone. That's why pandas wins over Excel for complex data manipulations. Now let's move to the next point, which is linking to websites or databases. Pandas is a Python library, and because of that, it allows for easy linking of data analysis to be shown on a website front-end or a database back-end. Say you are manipulating user rows to guess if they will purchase your product. You can easily write to a database from pandas data frames, or you can even load them onto a website for your sales reps using, say, a library like Flask. I have talked extensively about using Flask in my previous episodes, but basically, Flask allows you to build websites using Python in backend. This kind of functionality is hard to perform for Excel. Also, it is hard to keep the analysis reproducible across many variations and versions in Excel. But with pandas, if you're correctly synced with the version requirements, the results are completely reproducible on any computer or any machine, even any operating system or server. The fifth and final thing I want to mention while comparing pandas and Excel is cost. Nowadays, companies rely a lot on data analysis. Almost everybody needs to do it at some level. For this, several official seats of Excel are needed, which can add up to a huge cost for the company. MS Office, of which Excel is a part of, can be a few hundred dollars per person per month. Excel is a closed system, but Python and pandas are open source, and you can read the entire code of pandas on GitHub and even make contributions to it. With Excel, it is maintained by one company, Microsoft, which could be a good thing, to be honest, because there is a professional support for it. But when it comes to, say, customization, or if you want to read the source code, then in that case, pandas is definitely pretty cool. Another popular alternate is to use Google Spreadsheets, which is essentially free. While it can support millions of rows, it can get pretty slow depending on your browser. This happens because Google Spreadsheets are essentially on the browser. They are great to share a chart or some numbers with your team members with a URL, and without sending those Excel files in emails and so on and so forth. While Google Spreadsheets is a pretty cool tool to share and get started for free, pandas just offers you much more options for customizations and doing much more complex business logic, stuff that we have covered already. So we have actually covered quite a few points so far, and we have seen how pandas wins over Excel in them, such as large data set size, different kinds of input formats, complex business logic, and also linking to websites or databases, and being free and open source. But then, what are the disadvantages of pandas? Well, I think you can guess it. It's the difficulty to get started with, I think. Definitely, pandas and Python require you to learn the new syntax, learn about virtual environments, setup, versioning using requirements.txt, Jupyter notebooks, and more. But with Excel, you can make a chart or get a number in 30 seconds, especially if the dataset is small. But if the dataset is large or having several tens of thousands of rows, you might be better off taking the time to learn pandas and learn its workflow, as it gets really easy after you've done it a few times. In fact, you might definitely prefer using pandas over any other tool after a while. We will come back after a break to discuss how pandas might compare with SQL or structured query language. Welcome back. So now the question is, what about SQL or structured query language? Is pandas better than SQL also? Well, it again depends on task. SQL is a general query language to access data stored in relational databases. So if you want to, say, access AWS Redshift data in your console, then SQL is probably a much better way to directly access the databases. Where pandas really shines is if you want to not only slice and dice the data, but also have a bunch of different data visualizations and stuff that you want to do. Pandas integrates really well with Python data visualization libraries like matplotlib and seaborn. For visualizing a database, people typically use paid non-free tools like Tableau or Looker. But again, with pandas, it is completely free to access these visualizations. If you want interactivity of the visualizations, you can use libraries like d3.js in the front end, while pandas data frames are being manipulated in the back end. All for free and open source, again. Pandas also allows for easy manipulation of time series data using methods like resample, which can be hard to do in SQL. Pandas with Jupyter notebooks also allow you to quickly visualize this data as you perform all these different operations, something which is very difficult to do with SQL. One more point is, say if you want to just get a quick feel of your data set, then pandas provides this method called describe. So you could just do dataframe.describe, and it can be used to see count, min, max, median, 25th percentile, 75th percentile, and so on. And it's very quick to kind of get this data. This is something that can take some writing in SQL. So again, that's another kind of advantage of using pandas for all these useful methods, and it's not just visualization. One thing that I should mention is that SQL, sometimes people use it to refer to database, and sometimes it's used to refer to query language. But actually, technically, SQL is only the query language. Pandas absolutely does not replace the database part, right? I mean, that's a key point to understand. So when I say that is pandas better than SQL, what I'm trying to kind of evaluate is whether the query aspect of that database, is it better to do it with pandas or with SQL? And there are like different options for databases like AWS Redshift, MySQL Server, Postgre, and so on and so forth. If you wanted to connect to Postgre database, you could use a driver like PsychOpg2 that will allow you to build a connection to that database, and then you can use pd.readSQL to load that data into a data frame. You could also use something like SQL Alchemy, which is an object relational mapper for Python. So SQL Alchemy actually builds the SQL queries for you. It's a very nice library to connect to a database. But if you just wanted to read from an existing database, you could just use a driver and just load it into the pandas data frame. But if your data is actually stored not in like a Postgre database, but in a SQLite database, so SQLite database is the one that you store kind of a physical file on your system. So it's stored on your hard disk as a file, and you could just load it directly into pandas without any driver. So if you just wanted to get started with databases, you could just do SQLite 3 with pandas and just read it off directly using pd.readSQL. So yeah, I mean, there are quite a lot of details, and it can get really hairy, and it just depends on different databases. But I did briefly want to mention it for the sake of completeness as we were talking about Python and pandas. We have talked a lot about SQL, pandas, Excel, and so on. One thing is clear is that SQL and pandas are actually a little bit used in different use cases. Some tasks are just easier to do in SQL, especially if you have large data with multiple columns that are indexed. Pandas is great for prototyping, visualizations, and complex operations, while SQL is great as a query language for generally for all your relational databases. So I'm going to link to an official documentation from Pandas, which shows how common SQL operations like group by, join, etc. can be performed in Pandas. I feel that SQL and Pandas are both complementary. You're likely to use both of them in your data analysis work. Excel can also complement well, especially if you want to share final results to management team or something like that. But going forward, we're likely to see more and more data scientists and data analysts doing more of their core analysis work in Pandas and lesser in Excel. I'll recommend you to give Pandas a try. I'm going to link to some fantastic resources in the descriptions, including a book by the Pandas creator, Wes McKinney himself. On that note, this concludes this episode of the Data Live podcast. Don't forget to rate and review this in Apple Podcasts or Spotify and share it with as many people as possible. You can reach me at thedatalifepodcast@gmail.com. That's thedatalifepodcast@gmail.com for comments, feedback, and if you want to come on this show as a guest. I'm looking for data scientists who want to share about their real-life experiences with doing complex data analysis, data science, and so on. Thanks for listening, and as always, have a great week ahead.